how much of my heart are you not ruling? And I said, we sing that and it sounds so good. I'm not beating us tonight. I love you, man. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you as a brother in Christ. I'm sitting here, I'm going, you know, Lord, I tell you, I want to be able to feel his heart in my heart.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us. On Love Never Fails today, we continue a six-part series Pastor has titled, Essentials of the Heart. Today, Pastor teaches the second message in the series from Matthew chapter 11. Now let's listen in.
Amen. Let's turn again in our Bibles tonight. We're going to start out and we'll be turning several times, but let's begin back in the book of Proverbs as we look at part two of the essentials of the heart tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. I pray that if you're with us tonight, that you have definitely picked up a copy or listened to last Wednesday night's sermon, which was part one of the essentials of the heart. You know, we began that study, remember, there in the place where everything in life begins, and that's our hearts. Remember that our heart is really the home to our personal life. Everything in life actually begins there. All that is good, all that is evil, all that is wonderful, it stems from our heart. Whether it's fear, whether it's lies or lust or kindness, goodness, it originates there because our inner person, our heart, our spirit being, if you will, that is the real you, the real me. Amen? It's important that we remember that. Now, let's look at Proverbs 4:20. We'll read it, then we're going to turn in just a moment. It says, my son, in verse 20, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the center of your what? Your heart. Talking about our heart tonight. And he tells us why. For they are life. Their life to those who find him, and watch this, their health to all their flesh. And then our main scripture, our foundational scripture tonight, keep or guard, protect, keep your heart, guard your heart, protect your heart with all diligence, which means above everything else, protect your heart, for out of it spring or flow the issues of life. We learned last Wednesday night that the most important thing to do in life is to protect our hearts, because this tells us if we're to protect our hearts, our greatest danger then, like I said last Wednesday, it's what's within us, because out of it proceed the issues of life. Remember what Jesus told us last week in Matthew 15:18, when he said, those things that proceed out of the mouth, he said, they come from the heart. The seedbed, if you will, that's there. The things that come out of me told us, he said, you know, and they defile us and so forth. Those evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. And he goes on and on. And they all begin in the heart. And the heart is what contaminates a man, a woman, contaminates their life, contaminates their character. You remember the false teachers. There, when Peter was talking about the false teachers in 2 Peter 2:14, he said this about them, about their hearts. He said, they have a heart trained in covetousness. A heart trained, that word trained in Greek, we get our word, our English word, gymnasium. In other words, the false teachers of that time and even today, God says in his word, listen, they've trained their heart like in a gym. They work out. They do their, if you will, their cardiovascular exercises, but they do it because they're experts in greed. They're experts in covetousness. They're experts in money. What a horrible thing for the Bible to say about people. Their hearts are trained. They've trained them. See, the essentials of life, everything comes from our heart. Remember last week, just a quick review, I said to you, I said, our every action is a heart action. For example, I went through a list of things and I said, you know what? If we're not having a prayer time, let's don't lie to ourselves and say it's a time issue or I just can't get up. No. It's a heart issue. Amen. If we're not doing our Bible studying, if we're not serving and so forth, let's don't blame it on anything else but what lives inside our heart. Because out of the issues of the heart, life comes from there. It springs forth and so forth from the issues of the heart. If we're living a life of doubt and unbelief, loved one, it's not because we don't have enough faith. The Bible says that God has given every man a measure of faith at Romans 12:3. It's not that. It's a matter of the heart, whether we're going to believe God or not. If we're not ambassadors for Christ, it's not because we're lazy. It's a heart issue. Matter of fact, you know, we can go through the Bible and find out everything that we do that we're not doing. It's not really a time issue or money issue or whatever. It's really our heart. It's because out of our heart proceed the issues of life and all that we do. If we're not givers of the kingdom of God, for example, you know, we think about why people not give, or do Christians, all Christians, support God's work on earth? Well, no, they don't. Remember what Paul told us? He said in 2 Corinthians 9:6, he said, I say to this, that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Did you know that's talking about giving? Giving of our funds unto the Lord. And so many Christians, I believe today, they believe maybe it's a loss to give unto God. It's not a loss to give to God. Amen? And then he goes on to say, he says, so let each one give. How? Here it is. As he purposes in his checkbook. No. As he purposes in his mind. No. As he purposes in his heart. It's a heart issue. Giving to God is a heart issue. It's not a mental issue. It's not a number in a checkbook issue. It's not having enough numbers or not enough numbers. That's not it. It is a heart issue. And God goes on to say, and I don't want you to give, he says, as you purpose in your heart, grudgingly, not out of necessity. In other words, where you got to cling to the possessions. God says, I don't want you to do that. He said, for God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. It's all about the heart. Now let's go and turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, and let's look in verse 4. There in the New Testament, right after 2 Corinthians, is Galatians. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, that perfect time in history, okay? God's perfect calendar, when the fullness of time had come, it says, God sent forth, that's a mission, okay? God sent forth his son, born of a woman, Jesus became man, born under the law. Remember, Jesus was subject to the law of Moses, and he kept it perfectly. He says, born under the law, and the purpose to redeem or to purchase or to set free, to redeem those who were under the law. In other words, the law can't save us, and we were powerless to obey the law. The law just told us that we were guilty, that we might receive the adoption as sons. That's the result of the new birth. Now watch this, a scripture we covered last week. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I want you to bear with me now and listen very carefully. And it's going to sound silly what I'm about to ask you. But that's what I mean. Just bear with me in a little folly, if you will, a little sincere folly. Where is the Spirit of his Son? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ really is in your heart? Well, is that what the scripture says? Matter of fact, when he's in our heart, we cry out and have the most intimate relationship anyone can have with God. We can call him Abba, or in Aramaic, Papa or Daddy. That's almost sounds too religious or something, doesn't it? Almost blasphemous to say Daddy, but that's exactly what, but it's not. Listen to me very carefully. We're talking about the essentials of life, the essentials of the heart, the issues of life, they flow from our hearts. And here's the deal tonight. Talking about essentials, before we can ever talk about faith and really before we can talk about prayer, that's normally what people would say the essentials are, and they are, but before we can ever get there, if we don't get sermon number one and sermon number two, this one under our belt, we won't accomplish much in the others. And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, this great truth must be reawakened in our hearts tonight. And that in the hearts of all the 21st century believers, Jesus is alive where? In our hearts. Now listen very carefully. It says in Colossians 1:27, it says to them, meaning the saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in us where? In our hearts. I'm going someplace, but I have to set everything up. Christ in our hearts, the hope of glory. When it says Christ in you, that means Christ himself, the resurrected living Savior. Amen? He is in us, and also he is in us with all his glorious riches, and he dwells in us. When it says that Christ in you, that means that everything which Christ is dwells in us. Boy, that's almost unbelievable, isn't it? He dwells in us, and he dwells in us where? In our hearts. In our hearts. His life is in you. Amen? His nature, we're partakers of his divine nature. His nature is in you. We have the power of God working in us, the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you. Put this mind on you. We have the absolute wonderful mind of Christ operating in us. We have the love of God. Where is it shed abroad at? Romans 5:5. In our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God, which has been given unto us. We share in Christ's victory. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. 1 John, it says in 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is he who has overcome the world but he who believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen? So we have all of that in us. Do you really believe that tonight? Living in our hearts. Amen? It says in John 1:16, it says, of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you were complete in him. Paul cried out in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. He says, I'm not trying to live the crucified life. I have already been crucified with Christ. That is a position. That is a fact. In other words, we died on the cross. Amen? He took our place. Now listen, Paul goes on to say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Amen? I'm talking about our hearts, and I'm talking about who lives there. I'm talking about Jesus really is in our hearts tonight if you're born again. Amen? Now listen, the Bible tells us in 1 John, and I'm going to get to our text in just a moment. In 1 John 4:17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this. Okay, in what? Well, that we may have boldness, and he's going to tell us when, in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, as Jesus is, not as he was, as Jesus is right now, as he is, so are we in this world. Do you believe that? Listen, Jesus is alive in our hearts. Out of it come the issues of life. Everything that we have, everything that we're going to do is going to be a heart issue. And I looked at this and I said, oh Lord, you mean that we're not going to come into the judgment? And it's like the Lord would say, Bill, you were judged 2,000 years ago. Your judgment is past. When Christ died, you died with him. Amen? When he rose, you rose with him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he ascended, you ascended with him. We're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. So our judgment was 2,000 years ago. It says in Romans 8:1, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ who lives in our heart, where we cry out, where the Spirit of his Son is living right now in our hearts. As he is, so are we in this world. We are so closely identified with Jesus Christ that our standing in this world, please don't think I'm being blasphemous right now, but we are so closely identified in our position with Christ right this minute that we almost share his exalted position. Are you listening to me? You know, the problem today is that we know who we are, but we're not living it out. We have all of the theology down, but it's not becoming a living reality in our hearts and in our lives. Now let's turn one last time, maybe, to Matthew's gospel, and let's look at something tonight. Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, and I want you to look down to verse 28. Now, in chapter 11, a very well-known scripture that you're getting ready to read, and you know it by heart, but in chapter 11, up to the point here in about verse 25 and following, the Lord's message has been to the lost sheep of Israel, okay? And now he's going to change. He started, if you will, all these cities that have turned their back on the Lord and so forth, rejecting him and so forth. And he's through with that. And so what Jesus does, what Jesus has offered to Israel and what they have rejected, in other words, as their king, as being their Messiah, he now offers to everyone in every age until he returns, okay? And that's this. He offers them an invitation to come to him, the individual. Now, I want you to look at this very well-known scripture, which I'm going to say right now that all of my 30 years now of teaching the Bible, I've taught it only one way because, I mean, I've changed a little bit the way I've taught this, but this is the first time that I'm ever going to teach it differently ever in my ministry. And that's because I finally understood what the Lord was trying to tell me in my heart. And it just so broke me when I understood this scripture personally, a living revelation. You know, what's wonderful about being a Christian is the older you get, you should keep growing. It's not like you slow down and you stop. We're still being changed from glory to glory into the image of our Lord. Amen. And I looked at this and I said, oh Lord, I've never seen this ever in scripture, ever in my life. Look at verse 28. Now it says, come. Yes, we know this is salvation, and yes, this is a call to discipleship. It's an invitation. Come, Jesus says, I want you to come to me. And he says, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, in other words, you're exhausted, you're weighed down, could be with sin, could be with anything. Jesus said, I want everyone, I want you to come to me, and I'll give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now listen to me. Yes, again, this is a call to salvation. It is a call for forgiveness. It's a call to come to the only one that can change us. Amen? And yes, without a doubt, you know, it's something so much more. And I told the Lord when I understood this, I said, how is it that I missed it all this time, that I missed it? And not that I was teaching it wrong, but that I missed what the Lord was really saying here in these verses. I mean, come to me and come to me. Why? You know, all of this time, I look at it and I have taught, take my yoke. Now, listen, that's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Jesus said, take my yoke. Now, that is not an option. That's not a suggestion. That is a command from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I understand that, and I've taught that. And we all know here that Jesus is not speaking of some natural yoke, is he? No, he's not talking about, I want you to, you know, you're not like an oxen, and I'm going to put a yoke on you. This is going to be forced labor all of your life. I'm going to lead you out of the barn in the morning, and you're going to plow the fields all day long, and you're going to do it for me. And when sunset gets there, I'm going to throw you back in the barn, and you're going to sleep all night, get up and do it every day. That's going to be your whole existence. That's not what Jesus is talking about. We know it's not a natural yoke. We know it's a supernatural yoke. And I have always taught from this scripture here, when Jesus said, take my yoke, I always taught this, that what Jesus is saying here is that what he did in his earthly ministry while he was on earth, he now wants to continue through the church, his body, his spiritual ministry on earth. Amen? Through him. And there's nothing wrong with it. That's absolutely the truth. You know, the Bible says in Luke 4:18, let me just read it to you about this yoke here. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering to the sight of the blind, both spiritual and physical, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Let me ask you a question. Isn't that the yoke that we've been commanded to do? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit upon you? Is the Holy Spirit upon me? Has he sent us? Absolutely. We could go right now into Isaiah chapter 58, a fast that is pleasing unto the Lord, and he would tell us to go and break the yoke off of every person, the people that are poor, the people that are in bondage. Go break that yoke. I've always taught that, and I believe that, and that's not bad teaching. That's good teaching, but I missed it. You know, I want to talk to you now, and I don't know any way to say this to you, but for the first time in my life, I now understand what the yoke is. I always thought, like I just said, that, Lord, we have to go out there. We're going to take your yoke, and yes, you're going to lead us, and we're going to follow you and all those things. But when I saw this in Scripture, it literally broke my heart. I want you to look there now again, there in that verse. He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Why? For I am gentle and what? Lowly where? Listen, the yoke that Jesus commanded us to take is his heart, is his lowly heart. You go check out any commentary you want, you won't find that. When I saw that in my heart, I said, oh God, we're to take his yoke. You see, you can't be yoked up with someone unless you have the same heart. Isn't that right? How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Where? In their mind? No, in their heart. And I said, oh God, how is it that I've missed this? Listen, where is Jesus residing right now? In our hearts. Listen, we possess right now, listen to me, we possess right now the lowly heart, the humble heart of Jesus in us. We possess that right this minute. That's the yoke. Now here's the deal. Does his heart possess us? Does his yoke possess us? So that's Jesus's invitation. Here it is. Here's what he's saying to the church. He's saying, take my heart. Take my heart. I live in you. God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. That's why you cried out, Abba, Father. He lives in us. The fullness of the Godhead bodily lives in us. Amen? The anointing that we have is him. He's saying, listen, I want you to take my heart. That's the invitation. It says in Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Now listen, if we really, right now, we need to grow. You know, I was standing in front of the mirror and I was praying. I said, Lord, where in the world do you want me to go for this second message? I said, you know, Lord, I said, I know that you don't want me to start talking about prayer and faith and, you know, all the essentials. And, you know, I said, Lord, and God is my witness. I was there, and that's the Lord speaks to me a lot of times when I'm just shaving. You know what I mean? And I was just shaving and praying and standing here looking at my old ugly face. And, you know, and I knew that he wanted me to preach from this scripture. And I said, Lord, I don't get it about the heart. And when he spoke to my heart, and I'm not saying I'm adding any new revelation to the Bible, I'm not writing any new canon or anything. He said, son, he said, my yoke is my heart. I liked it broke down right there in my bathroom at the house because I realized how much I failed. And I said, oh God, I've blown it all this time. You see, here's the thing. I understood it for a little bit, and I'm just I'm almost straining to explain. You see, if we possess the heart of Christ, amen? Amen? Okay, now listen, we do. He lives in us. We have his heart in us. And not only that, listen now, if we possess his lowly heart, then here's something that should happen to us. Whenever unbelief arises in our hearts and doubt, it should make us weep. It should make us weep. And let me tell you why. Whenever Lazarus died and Mary came up to him, you know, came back and he said, oh Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. And oh Mary, where have you put him? You know, where have you laid him? Oh, he's over here. Well, he's been in there. Don't roll away. The stone is too much. Don't. And everybody's groaning and the Jews are weeping and say, oh, could this man that raised the dead could and opened the eyes of the blind, could he not save this man from dying? It goes on. And then Jesus says he groaned in his spirit. And then John 11:35, it says, Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Was it because the Jews were crying? No. The problem was everybody in the camp, everybody that was there, they did not believe his ability. Unbelief in his ability caused Jesus to weep.
Well, that's all of our time for now, but we'll conclude this message on the program tomorrow, and we encourage you to join us once again. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the broadcast, and we pray that your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.